This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
I saw something yesterday, and I'm like, okay, that's interesting, and I want to see how this is going to, you know, really resolve itself throughout. Why? Now, I know it was the spring, a lot of guys trying to make teams and whatever. I don't put a lot of stock in statistics, but I do think in terms of usage rates, some other things, pretty interesting as he transitions from a relief pitcher to a starter. During the spring, Clay Holmes threw his sinker 30, which is a powerful, hard, low, as we know, 34% of the time during the spring. And he was diversifying the repertoire.
Was adding a third pitch.
For sure. Mixing that changeup, mixing some other stuff. Now, yesterday, it went up to 49-50%. Now, was that because, you know, it was a little shaky early, didn't have a good walk, four guys, had the Acuna error, obviously extend things here, and he went back to what's comfortable for him, and which is going to take a complete reset, which, by the way, I'm fine. I don't think that you just go from basically being a reliever for 7 years and become an absolute ace in a month down in Port St. Lucie, though I do think he's going to be really good this year, you know that. But I think it's more of a mindset change for him than a stuff change, and I wonder how open he's going to be to that when he's on the ropes. Usually you go to what you do best when you're in trouble.
Okay, but this is part of my issue with having him as the number one starter. And again, I know that they minimize opening day starter now, and it's all because they want to get Senga enough rest and Peterson enough rest. But if he were pitching as a fourth or fifth guy in the rotation, this wouldn't be that big of a deal. There is going to be a learning curve from bullpen to starter. The spring numbers, I think, got people out in front of themselves. Wow, look at these spring numbers. This guy's going to hit the ground running here. There's going to be some bumps in the road. There's going to be a transition in Holmes figuring it out for real. The up and downs, all that stuff that they talk about, being a starter, use of pitches, where in an inning or two, it's different. You can get away with throwing a higher percentage of your best pitch. Mm-hmm. Where over the course of four or five innings, maybe you can't. And you're right. Maybe he is trusting that. Look, to be a starter, obviously there's a reason why he had to add another pitch. You have to have more of a mix if you want to go more innings. I think he'll figure it out to be at least solid. Mm-hmm. I don't look at him as an ace. I don't look at him as a potential all-star. I need to see what he could do. But you know, potential all-star as a starter. I know he was as a closer. I need to see what he could do. But I think it's magnified because he's the first one out of the gate to take a start.
Yeah, and I'm not even overreacting to his performance. I just want to know, like, why he kind of abandoned what his plan was. Again, it's easier down in spring. I understand that. Listen, if you're the ace or the fifth starter, I'm less concerned with that. I know what you mean, like the symbolism. You want a horse at the top, like Manaea, take the ball in the playoffs. I get that.
Well, how about the pressure on him?
Or Senga. Yeah. You know, I get it. But I do think that this is going to be very fluid. And when you get Senga, you know, like, eventually you can manipulate off days and kind of repurpose some of the names. And, you know, we'll see what Montas has when he comes back. But so I'm less concerned with Clay Holmes as being the symbolic ace yesterday or being the fourth or fifth guy in a month and a half or so. I'm much more aware and much more concerned with his evolution as a pitcher. It doesn't matter if it's a Monday or a Friday.
Right.
If he's suddenly going against what made him look so phenomenal in the spring, I don't think that's smart.
I guess my point is not just in the numbers. It's that usually you put your best pitcher out there first. And, okay, you want to say that Senga is going to be their best? I don't know. We'll find out. But Holmes, in this spot in opening day, looking to be their best pitcher, and if we knew he was slotted in at 4 or 5, and maybe even in his mind, maybe it is a mental thing. If you knew it was 4 or 5, I think there were certain things you could get away with or learn and try to figure it out, as opposed to opening day, all eyes on you without Manaea in that rotation. Mm-hmm. You're looked at being the guy. You're the one who's ready. Senga wasn't. I mean, even with Senga was out all of last year. You know, Peterson, people have high hopes for him. there's no guarantee. Tyler McGill, Griffin Canning. When you look at it, if I had to ask you right now, forget Manaea, right now, the guys that are there, how would you rank the Mets' best starting pitchers?
I would, in terms of stuff.
Well, no, just who you think is best.
Senga.
Okay.
Holmes.
That's what I mean. Right
Peterson.
There.
Peterson. Yeah, okay. I like Peterson more than you.
Fair enough.
I do.
But you said Holmes number two.
Mm-hmm.
So whether he slotted in the first.
Peterson could be two, by the way. Yeah, but I think Holmes is going to be good for you.
Things could change. But my point is that whether he slotted first or not, you in your mind, and I think probably a lot of people would agree with that, saying a number one and then pick the number two behind him, and maybe some people are saying Clay Holmes, he's expected already to be their second best starter.
Yeah. Yeah.
What, he's being converted from the, like, that's not how it should be. He should be the fourth, not in numbers, in he is our fourth or fifth best starter. That's how it should be to ease him in. Maybe it turns out that he's the second or third best starter throughout the course of the year. But to already go into a season where he is, at worst, it seems, your second best starter, maybe third best starter behind one of the other guys, to go into the season, I don't think that that's doing anybody any favors.
It's going to be a real leap of faith for him to trust us that he doesn't, that he hasn't really been in battle with. And, you know, I know one of the tough shots, well, I think one of the toughest shots in golf is the flop shot. You ever see, like, Mickelson with it?
Yeah.
You open up the face and you just whack it to the moon and you're only trying to go 10 feet.
They're fun if you hit it right.
Oh, yeah, but you skull all of them. Go in the parking lot, banging off trees, smashing windows, out of bounds. But it's easier to do it on the range when there's no pressure. The first time you try to do it on a course, unless you're really good, which I'm not, you got to skull that thing. You've got to learn to trust it. And if it, I just hope it's not a long process for him to trust the evolution of his repertoire. Because I really think Clay Holmes could be really good.
Let's get to some of the midday madness with you on the phones here on BT and Sal. Brought to you by Boost Mobile. Sal is in Brooklyn, wants to join the madness. What's up, Sal?
What's going on, boys? Hoping all is well.
Hey,
Sally, this is more directed toward you as the Mets fan.
Mm-hmm.
Soto did everything he was supposed to do. He got on base 600% of the time. He's an on-base machine. The guy is an absolute stud. How long do you give, you, Sally, as the Mets fan, or even Mets fans in general, how long, 30 games, 40 games, do you give the batter behind him? Because when you're on
base three times,
you're hoping
not long.
And I don't want to name names.
We will name names.
You know the deal. Whether you give Pete or whether you put Vientos back there,
Nimmo, who flied out with the bases loaded. You know, Nimmo, no, I mean, it happened, Sal. It's one game, but you can't be saying that you're tired of being the second team in town, you're going to take over, and then you get up in a big spot in a game with a chance to do damage, and you fly out to center field. Now, it's one game, so you're not going to go nuts. But those are spots that he's going to have to produce in.
Sally, how long before the Vladdy talk starts?
Thanks for the call, Sal. I'm not even close to that. And I really don't think BT Vlad is going to be a realistic option. If he's turning down $500 million,
yeah,
he's not getting that from the Mets or Yankees. So I don't think he's going to be realistic. And I'm not worried about him at all. I am more focused on Nimmo, Vientos, and Alonso. It was one game, but Soto was on base. Those guys had opportunities. I do have concerns. They may be mild, but I have concerns about Vientos with a potential sophomore slump. Those are real things.
Mm-hmm.
And I am concerned about Nimmo if he could stay healthy and put together a full season of impactful offensive baseball because he's never done it before.
Listen, and I understand why it happened, but it doesn't necessarily mean this is the roadmap to how it's going to happen. Met fans got Soto. They were on this massive high from last year. And the natural inclination is to, and I probably would have done it as well. So we're on the doorstep of the World Series. You know, all the great stories, Lindor's reemergence as a superstar, and Vientos and Manaea, the new windup, and this, and a great manager, and the ownership, and the GM, the young breed genius, right? Boom. And now, Soto. It's like injected into the veins. There's no doubt we're taking the next step. It's not a given that you do.
Right.
And I think that when I look at, I'm not concerned about Soto at all. I do think Pete's going to have a really good year, but I do think the Mets are going to kick the baseball around a lot. You know, they were 25th in errors a year ago. They were right in the middle of the pack in terms of outs above replacement. Those are facts. You don't believe me, go look them up. Trust me, they had them on SNY last night, by the way. I was checking you guys out. It was a fun show. Although the way I was with Danny, the way you started the show last night, That was a weird high. How did you start the show on this one?
It was like a mild high. Yeah.
Even she said it. She's like, you were excited, but he struck out.
I was laughing.
It was a good show. And Reyes was good, too. The point is, I think the Mets could kick the ball around a lot. And I look at the bottom third of the order. I'm like, I know Alvarez will be back, but I don't really know who he is yet. Just like we don't know who Dominguez yet is yet from a Yankee perspective. I look at the rotation. I look at the division. Really good. I just think that it's going to be a battle for the Mets to be a playoff team this year.
Well, that's kind of what we were talking about early in the week when I was saying it's not a given here. Yeah, it feels great, and yeah, you got all the pieces in place, but we've been down this road before. And I really do think, similar to the Yankees, how we say, okay, well, if that's a harbinger for the Yankees, it's a great thing because you got contribution right out of the gate from the young guys that there are question marks. It doesn't mean that Wells is going to go on and hit 30 homers, even though we might think that he will. It doesn't mean that Volpe is going to be stud, even though we think he could be, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the question marks that you had going in, some were answered right out of the gate on opening day. Now, obviously, that has to continue to happen. With the Mets, some of the question marks that you had going in, whether it be Clay Holmes as a starter or their rotation, that turned out wrong. Or whether it be the guys behind Soto, I know everybody's focusing on the result of Soto's at bat, but really the bigger question is, what are the guys going to do behind him? And it wasn't Pete's fault yesterday. He was okay. He got on base a couple times.
Yeah.
He's obviously going to need to do a lot more. But really, Nimmo and Vientos came up multiple times with guys on, and they did not get the job done. The Mets will not win if that's the case. They could have Soto hitting 35, 40 home runs, driving 100 runs. If the guys behind him don't drive him in, they will not win.
I know. And that's why we were talking about the numbers with Soto, you know, last year. And he did. That's the most runs he scored in the season. I don't think he'll approach that number again this year. But he doesn't have to for the Mets offense to be really good. But it can't take this. It can't be this dramatic, you know, fall, which I don't necessarily think it will. I mean, listen, the greatest overreaction, week one of the NFL, opening day in baseball. And whether it's, you know, a Volpe good day or an Austin Wells good day or a rough day for, you know, Acuna thrown on basically into the seats almost and not getting the double play. Yeah, I get it. These are storylines, especially when we talk about this all winter. 3 months of storylines. Now, Volpe, it doesn't mean he's going to have 27 home runs and hit 280, but it beats going 0-for-4 with a couple of whiffs and banging it to two double plays in key spots. So we react to the good stuff. The answer, and I finally learned this, is usually somewhere in between, and it's nuanced that we don't necessarily get into. Either we don't want to, we don't have time, some people choose not to actually do it on the radio, but these are very nuanced layered conversations, and I think that the Mets right now are... Oh, yeah, and by the way, they also face one of the best pitchers in baseball, dude. I mean, Valdez is filthy. So we'll see. It's a long season, by the way, Mets out. Who's got the best winning percentage on opening day in the history of baseball?
Yeah, the Mets do,
it's the New York Mets, who I think lost their first 7 or 8 when they were born in 1962.
Right.
I remember as a kid, I mean, when I'm talking about like when Lee Mazzillo, we love Lee, when Lee was their best player and shortly thereafter when they were awful before they got Keith, awful, just Kingman, horrendous, they'd still win on opening day. So what does it mean, opening day? It dampens the mood a little bit. Because it's one game, relax.
Tom is in Howell, New Jersey. What's up, Tom?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Just two quick points, one for you, Sal, one for BT. Sal, you've been saying that, you know, you want Soto in the big spots. You know, you don't mind him swinging out of the zone, maybe on a high pitch or something. But, you know, everyone in baseball always says it's all about repetition. It's all about the consistency. Are you not afraid that, you know, doing so in the big spots will ultimately lead him to start doing so, you know, in other spots maybe and kind of get him out of his routine and sort of like a process?
No, Tom, because I don't think Soto's going to do that regardless of what I want. I just want him to be, even using the word aggressive is not right. I want him to be the guy up in the biggest of spots and to do damage. I worry about passing the baton, but I know Soto's not afraid of the moment. So if he does walk, it's because he didn't get anything to hit. I don't think yesterday was a case where Soto expanded his zone and was trying to do too much. Maybe a little bit of that. I just think he got beat by a better pitch. Now, ask BT what you got for him.
BT, you were saying, which I agree, that you think Pete is the guy with the most pressure, you know, on the outside of Soto in the lineup.
Yep.
An idea maybe, you know, I don't think I've heard mentioned yet. What about putting Pete in the leadoff spot with the protection of Soto, you know, seeing with the Yanks, with Wells, maybe, you know, a similar type of bat. And then Lindor, who obviously, you know, comes up big and doesn't have that pressure that Pete has backing Soto. Lindor not necessarily needing some protection.
Not doing it, Tommy. Tommy, not doing it. Not a bad thought, but I'm not doing it. I'll tell you why I'm not doing it. What did Aaron Boone tell us yesterday? Now, every situation's a little different because there's variables that you can't calculate. It's a broad thing, and you'll know what I mean when I say it right here. But the number three hitter comes up more than anybody in baseball with nobody on base. Why would I want Lindor up in that spot? And why would I want to mess with the mojo that Lindor found when he finally got red hot, white hot in the one spot? I'm not messing with that.
Yeah, that
to accommodate Pete Alonso?
That to me is the biggest thing where I ideally would like, you know, again, we're going back in time, but maybe Lindor is the two hitter, Soto as the three, or flip them if you'd like, 2-3, maybe Soto.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
But no, we've been down this road before. Lindor, when he got moved to the Lido spot, he became the MVP of the National League. You can't mess with that.
Mm-hmm.
And who are you putting in front of them? Nimmo? I'm sorry. I'd rather have it the way that the Mets have it now. I would go just three best hitters, Lindor, Soto, and I would put Vientos third. And I think eventually that's what they're going to do. But Pete was fine yesterday. It's not about, you know, today is not about Pete. Tomorrow might be about Pete, or Monday or next week might be about Pete. Ultimately, I do think the biggest key for the Mets season is going to be those guys behind Soto and Lindor driving those guys in.
Do you think that, now there's always a welcome to New York, but do you think it'll be different or transition? If Soto, because that's what we started the show with, if he gets off to a very, very uncharacteristic Soto start, do the Mets fans give him the rope? Which, I, by the way, I think that they will. But do they give him the rope to find it because they know that he's Juan Soto? Or do they maybe react a little early because they saw on a nightly basis what he did across town for the Yankees, and it's more intimate, and they absolutely know who he is?
The best way I could say this would be the wise ones, no. The wise ones will just sit back and... Now, I get it. Fans are irrational. I am one. We've both been irrational fans, still are at points. With him, it's different.
Yeah.
And it has, like, called before, oh, what if he were on the Yankees? Would you be saying the same thing? Yes, I would. Because I've loved Juan Soto. I'm on record of saying this before he was even a thought for the Yankees or the Mets. With him, he is just a different animal. There are very few players like that. Even with Judge, there is a different feel that you have. Now, I know postseason has been different, but I've said this before. Aaron Judge is the best baseball player I've ever seen. Almost any time he comes to the plate, I expect him to do significant damage, mostly home runs, but, you know, whatever. Those type of players are so rare. And the Mets, for the Mets organization, it's even more rare.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think this is a spot where you're looking to get on them the way it was Lindor, Beltran, even Piazza, whoever it may be, if they don't produce right away. Could be wrong, but the smart ones will know. I've had that before. I was telling you earlier, sometimes during the summer, I remember one day specifically last summer,
mm-hmm.
I was grilling a bunch of meat. Okay. Steaks, burgers, hot dogs, and I was having a bunch of surf sides.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to a point where I was just, not because of the surf sides, because they don't blow you, but all the meat and the hot dogs and hamburgers and steak, and I started to feel a little swollen.
Where?
And then, but the inside of my hand, dude, it was
not really there, though.
I know, but it's the weirdest thing. Explain this to me. The inside of my index finger, mm-hmm. like in here, if to the sensitive to the touch where I couldn't turn a doorknob.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Because it felt like I was getting poked with a knife.
Yep.
That's what you have?
Yeah.
So was I maybe a little run?
How long did it stay?
Maybe a couple of days.
Did you take medicine?
No.
Then I don't think it was that, because they gave me medicine and already it's like 25-30% better.
Did they tell you what caused it, though?
Well, it's like a uric acid buildup or some sort. Okay, I mean, there's different things. It could be shellfish. It could be...
And you did have a lot of... Well, shellfish
is... No, I assume she'd open, you know, not the... I have shellfish on Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve.
Now, shellfish is what? Shrimp shellfish?
Yeah.
Because you have to break them out of the
shellfish. Okay. Yeah. I mean, a lot of lobster, which I don't have a lot.
Is lobster considered a shellfish?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right, because you take it out of it. Okay. I'm starting to learn something. I had those lobster rolls. It was lobster sushi rolls.
But did it have the rice? Because I thought it was sashimi.
Yes.
It was actually sushi.
Sashimi with the salmon. Which
I had some of those.
We sound real bougie right now. The only reason why I ate it is because I had a weigh-in with Reyes. Reyes has been holding me accountable.
Okay. Now, real fast.
Yeah.
Where are we at with the scale here? Because I heard Reyes reference the weight.
What did he say? You got it
on the air? I heard that there's something going on. When did this develop? I got to know what's going on.
You know better than Reyes because I've been talking about my weight with you for 2 years.
Since we started.
Yeah, well, really, the problem is since we started, I have not been able to put the gym time into my new schedule.
That's hard.
I just can't do it because it means waking up at probably 6 a.m. and I just haven't gotten there yet, hoping to get there in the next few weeks, whatever. So Reyes... And then I had eye surgery and I couldn't work out. Mm-hmm. But I've changed my diet. So I've been eating properly and losing weight. And Reyes hears me and I see him and I'm like, God, you look like such a freaking stud.
He does look good.
I feel like a fat slob. Now, this is me saying this the first time I met him.
Off the air.
Then I said it the second time. Mm. And then by the third time where I'm like, oh, I hate myself. I look fat. He goes, you keep saying the same thing.
Oh.
And I was like, you know what? You're right.
Well, that's the point.
Jeez. I go, you're holding me accountable.
Good.
He's like, yeah, well, and he know I used to hold him accountable as a player, so he's doing me. So then he said, then they brought out the scale.
They did.
They brought out a scale right on set, off camera, but they brought out
a
scale.
Did you step on it?
I did, and not only did I step on it, remember, I'm fully clothed now.
That's only about 4 or 5 pounds.
No, that's a lot. 4 or 5 pounds a lot. The mic pack and the ear pack.
The ear pack's kind of light. The mic pack's
jacket,
a little heavy. Yeah, I got you.
Shirt, all right. Shoes,
what did you weigh?
I think it was 211.6.
Well, that's heavy for you.
It is.
That's heavy for you.
But remember.
We're going to shave you down to 206. I'm going to take 5 off there.
Okay, I would agree. So I weigh myself now normally every morning.
Which is not good, by the way. They say don't do
no,
that.
I like that. This is okay, how I do
say,
it.
They say right. Don't do that. For, like, I've done studies on this, but like psychological, or they've done studies, and I've had access to the studies because they say that could be more deflating than galvanizing because you don't see many changes. Anyway, do what you got to do.
I've had success with this, and I like knowing, weigh yourself same time every morning. That's the real barometer.
Okay.
So this, obviously, like you said, maybe take 5-6 pounds off. And keep in mind, it was a Monday coming off a bad weekend, and I wasn't in shape. So you're probably right. Like, it was probably around 208 in real.
Wow.
But it was 211.6.
Wow.
Yesterday, again, it was 8 o'clock at night. I had that damn sushi.
Here we go. There's a million excuses wrapped around this.
If it wasn't the weigh-in, I wasn't having sushi. I was going to have chicken fingers and fries. That was the point of the story. I'm not some bougie person who needs to go to the stadium. Look at me eating sushi in the suite. Give me the hot dogs. Give me the chicken fingers.
Amen.
Give me the fries.
Amen.
Throw it on me. But yesterday, I couldn't do that. I weighed in at 20. I was down like 208.2 or something like that. Is that right? I was
208.2, so you lost 3 pounds?
I'm sorry. It was 209.1.
You lost 2 pounds. 2 pounds and five ounces.
It was like two and a half pounds.
Yeah, there you go.
But that's on that scale.
Okay.
In reality, from there, like I weighed in this morning, I was 200.2.
That's the worst. That's a 10-pound difference.
That's what I'm saying. Well, but the difference of...
Wait, is your scale wrong at home or is their scale wrong?
No, it's the difference of weighing in the morning. You know, remember, not
an 11-pound difference, dude.
No. But again, remember, I'm saying this is me today. Then I think on my scale, I would have been 208 that day.
Okay.
So I think it's around a 7-pound difference, roughly.
Okay, now.
But it only showed the 2.5 from yesterday. Again, when I'm weighing myself on my scale, I'm in my boxers, and it's in the morning off of an empty stomach, no water, no nothing.
Okay.
That, I think, is my true weight right now, which is still high.
I got you. Now, you've always communicated an element of self-consciousness about this, right?
Yes, for my whole life.
Okay. Are you self-conscious? You get out of the shower. Are you self-conscious walking around? Your wife walks in the bathroom. Do you towel up? You don't care at this point.
No, okay, come on, man.
I figured that would probably be the answer. But do you feel more motivated to... This is going to be a tough question for you, buddy.
Okay, I'm ready for it.
To impress her or to impress Jose Reyes? I feel like it's Jose.
1,000%. Jose Reyes.
I knew it was going to be Jose Reyes. I knew it.
I'm telling my wife, he's holding me accountable. You know, they don't care what I look like anymore. He's like, I don't know, man. You're looking, he's holding
me
accountable.
He might be a godsend for you.
He motivated me. I go, all right, when's the next time you win, big boy? I'm going to be down. I guarantee it. I think he's in next week or something. So, but even at home, it does work, BT.
Yeah.
When somebody like that holds you, puts you out there, holds you accountable.
Sure.
I could not step on that scale yesterday. Now, I thought it was going to be a bigger difference, but even I'll take the 2.5-pound weight loss. It's fine. I could not step on that scale and have Jose Reyes look at me and be like, bro, you gain weight or you
That would be a level of disappointment. That would be a very heavy cross to bear.
Try to get him in here maybe to hang out with us one day.
I love him. I think he's very good on TV, very engaging. Let's face it. I mean, he's going to finally deliver something for you. Never got you the championship, but he's going to get you in shape.
I'll take it. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019, the number to call. Jason is calling from Brooklyn. What's up, Jason?
Hey, boys. Hey, just a couple things on the Mets. I don't care about Soto. I mean, it's absurd that anyone is stressed about it. Who cares? The guy is a beast. He'll be fine. What I was concerned about was Nimmo's, too quick at-bat after, I guess it was Vientos walked on, an eight-pitch at-bat in the eighth, and then he swings at the first pitch, and it's a, easy pop fly to center field. I was very happy to see Acuna bounce back from that idiotic throw he made and have that monstrous 12-pitch at-bat. I don't know if the two are tied. I read some not-so-glowing things about him in the spring, maybe a little bit of a knucklehead, not really hustling a lot and all that.
Well, the quote was that Lindor said that he was – I love him as a player, and thanks for the call, Jason. Lindor said that he was bored. I would assume that's the negative thing that you heard about Acuna. But his athleticism flashes to me that at-bat shows that – and he's had these type of at-bats before a year ago, which made me fall in love with Acuna. Then to have that in that spot yesterday, he is, to me, mature, at least offensively – matured enough to where I would trust him to stick. And even defensively, I know you brought up a point before about your word about the Mets defense. I am not as much. I think he's athletic. I think he'll figure it out. I like Acuna as a player, but he's still a young player that's got to learn to grow into being a well-rounded professional ball player.
Yeah, but I don't love the fact that he doesn't seem to love the grind. Like, that worries me a little bit there. When Lindor said that for a reason. Lindor is, we had him on the show. We teed him up on a bunch of topics that could have been somewhat polarizing. He took a pass. So when he said what he said about Acuna, that was not a slip of the tongue. Oh, I'm just speaking off the top of my head without... No. He knew what he was doing, and I respect that. That's his way of saying, all right, young man, let's get your act together a little bit here. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I'm going to let you know that this is not the Met standard, the new Met standard. But the bottom line is this here on so many levels. When you look back, I'm sure you just go find it. Last year's opening day show, from the Mets' perspective, we came in, they were 0-5. They had a horrendous start, as we know. The thing with Reese Hoskins, the slide at second base, I'm thinking quickly things we talked about. But think about the first month of the season and more when the Mets were not playing well, and then think about how their season ended. Vientos was in the minors, so was Iglesias, and Manaea had a different windup. I know that it's, it seems like it's so massive, and it is because it's baseball. We love it. It's opening day. It's opening day, and the storylines are changing. Hey, Mauricio very well might be playing second base in the playoffs. Who knows?
Who knows? By that point, anything is possible. That's what even Boone told us yesterday. It's March when we're talking about the lineup.
Yeah.
Like, we're making a big deal out of Bellinger and Judge and Wells leading off. It's March. There's a long way to go.
Although it did start off well for Boone.
For the Yankees. Yes, yeah. It did. My guy Boone, our guy.
It was awesome.
Did you see that Ice Cube? We just played the Ice Cube song there. Did you see the Dodgers?
I didn't see him bringing out the trophy. I heard you guys talking about it.
What was that car, Hoff, that he came out with? It was a beautiful...
It's a beautiful blue. I don't know if it was an Impala.
Dodger blue.
Yeah,
like old school Impala. Got the low riding back wheels.
Was it bouncing up and down?
It wasn't really bouncing up and down, but just those. And then Cube was bumping. That music was blasting in Dodger Stadium as he drives on the outfield warning track, whatever, drives the World Series trophy up to home plate to present there to Dave Roberts and have it there. But the music blasting and Dodger fans.
Sick, dude.
It was. I'm not a West Coast guy at all. And I do like Cube's music, but. I prefer the East Coast, and I'm not a Hollywood. I can't stand Hollywood. It was a 57 Chevy, so there you go.
Wow.
No, a 57 Chevy Impala? You got to get the details on that. What kind of Chevy was it? I mean, come on here.
57. It just says 57 Chevy.
Yeah, anyway, so you had Ice Cube. It was just that was a sick environment. Even though it's not my thing and I don't like the Dodgers, you should check that out because I know you like Cube as well.
I do. I like Cube. I think he's a good guy. I like his music. And let's face it, he crushed it last year going back to when he just waltzed onto that field and just crushed it.
A little different energy than Fat Joe.
Yeah, I mean, he a little different. It's a little different. Leave it at that. Yeah, no problems with you.
All right, so I had a major issue, and I'm high on Nimmo going in this year.
Yeah.
I think he's going to have a big year. Yeah. But when you talk the talk, you got to walk the walk. And the thing that drove me nuts was not just the result in the eighth inning when Nimmo came up with the bases loaded and line out to center field. You had three guys before him walk. Soto walked. Alonso walked. Vientos walks. Yep. And what does Nimmo do?
His first pitch.
Come on, man. You're swinging at the... Now, I'm okay if you do that, but you better be damn sure that you do damage with it. If you're swinging at the first pitch after three... Like, build some of the drama and work to get bad.
Yeah.
Maybe you get him to walk you as well. Maybe you get a better pitch. And it just... See, to me, where we're talking about Soto maybe being a little aggressive in that spot, I don't think that Soto was over-aggressive. I think he got beat by a better pitch. I think Nimmo was trying to be overly aggressive in that spot.
This is honestly a baseball philosophy that I do go back and forth on. Like, if one of my kids pulls that this weekend, you know, I'd give them the take sign in that situation. Right. So I get it. But... I don't mind it in this situation. To me, that was a just get me over pitch, and you know, it's like he popped it. He didn't rope it.
Yeah, he didn't even hit it hard.
Yeah, I know, but there's something to be said for being aggressive in the right spot. It's a fine line. Now, generally, it's like, you know, when you take a game winner, you know, a 30-foot fall away versus a better shot. All right, if you crush the shot, that's great. If you miss it, we're gonna sit there and say bad shot. Same thing when there's a guy on the mound who can't find the strike zone. You know, the three batters before you were just parading around the bases, and you make his life easier by, you know, hitting a semi-soft liner to center. I don't love it, but I also don't completely resist the mindset of the pitcher knows he's got to get something over,
yeah,
and you give it a good lash, and he just missed it.
Yeah, Abreu also, that inning happens to be being replayed right now on SNY in our studio. Vientos also swung at the first pitch after the two guys before him walked, but he ended up working out the walk. And I get the thought process of, oh, he's got to come over with the strike here, but if you're going to swing there, then you got to... I'm more upset about the result than I am the first pitch, but the fact that he did swing at the first pitch after three consecutive walks and didn't get the result done, that bothered me. You mentioned you could be giving the takes on. Can you do that with your gout hand there?
That's the other hand I do it with.
Oh, all right, so you're going to be okay, Coach? Yeah, I
ain't playing, man.
Coach BT, what do the kids call you?
Coach B, usually Coach B.
Okay, Coach B, you'd be all right with the left-handed gout?
I was all right in the box, man. I ain't playing anymore.
Just in case you have any issues, Roy is in Middletown and maybe help you out with that. Roy?
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Great show as always. It is a twofold call real quick. I know you're pressed for time. Big Yankee fan going Sunday. Was a little unsure about Wells being a leadoff spot, but in a weird way, kind of like it.
Mm-hmm.
I just think, obviously, they're too left-handed, and we need to mix it up and get some right-handed bats in there. But, you know, that remains to be seen. But, Brian, real quick. I'm sorry, Brandon.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
That's okay. Good. That's all good.
BT. Yeah. Okay. So with your gout, I'm a gym rat, okay?
Okay.
And I couldn't believe when I first had my attack 4 or 5 years ago, make this quick, and it hit me in my toe joint and then in the base of my thumb.
Yeah.
I thought that I'd break my hand.
Yeah.
You're thinking, right?
Yes.
So real quick, I'll give you some advice, but do you remember what you might have had to eat?
I had the sushi that Sal had.
I'm sorry?
Sushi.
Fish. Okay.
Sushi, yeah. Yep. But not all shellfish.
No, you're right. You're right. But
mercury.
With me, it was, yes, it's purines that are in that fish that'll make that attack happen. Yeah. But I'll tell you what I did over the last year, and I haven't had any attacks.
What?
I went to the tart cherry supplement at the health food store.
That's funny.
Two a day.
I saw that. The St. John's players, I don't know if it's the same thing.
Well, that's be friend. Thank you for the call,
I've
Roy.
Seen that tart thing around the facility. If it's the same thing, it might not be the same thing. Dude, it is debilitating, man. I mean, it is just...
Without, I think, you're
saying? Oh, yeah. Now, it's already started to dissipate the pain.
Okay.
But when it comes out, you can't help but not think that you broke your hand. The pain is so intense and so concentrated in one spot.
Is it a joint thing?
It is.
Then maybe my thing was the gout. Then the joint in my...
Yeah, but that doesn't seem to be joint. Let me see, where is it again?
Kind
of in the palmish where...
But what the hell else could it be?
I don't know.
Yeah. I know, I'm asking you.
I mean, you know, how many times? I don't know. What else could it be? You tell us.
No, it just, if it coincides with after eating a lot... Or eating something different, maybe abnormal. I don't know.
I've never had it before. And we are a sushi family. We generally get sushi once a week.
What'd you have the night before?
I think pasta. I think we made pasta.
Okay.
And, you know, we mess around
with
it.
We made
fun,
pasta
but,
or?
A little gravy, a little.
Jen made pasta or we made pasta? When you say
I
we,
actually made it.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
I made it. I did make it. And, you know, I don't drink during the week. I don't really drink during the weekends. All right, save the St. John's jokes. I really don't. So it's not an alcohol thing. I know that it's not. I don't drink very frequently at all.
Right. See, for me, that day that it could have been coinciding with a combination of things, overeating, high sodium foods, whatever, but then the alcohol as well on top of it.
Dude.
I just remember that I couldn't open a door. My hand was so sensitive and hurt. And you today are wearing that bandage on your left hand.
Yeah, but I'm here.
Well, sucking it up.
And I'm touching the microphone. It hurts. Like, you know, I always adjust the mic. You know that. I always got to touch it. I'm hanging in there.
Yeah, you know how bad it hurts because he has not broken his mic yet today.
Yeah, that's right. We haven't adjusted it that.
It's hanging by a thread, though. It really is, Hoff. You got to see this. I actually have to tighten it.
BT and Sal on the fan. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Come back. Reset. Down with the King. Topic of the day. Juan Soto and the Mets. We obviously get to the Yankees as well. But talking Mets and Yanks off opening day yesterday.